Lovely, isn't it, to be able to sing those lovely words. We are on the Lord's side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, this evening we're going to take time to look at a number of things, but at the same time we're going to look at one thing. You say, well, that's a bit strange, isn't it? How can we look at a number of things and look at one thing? We'll see very soon. Joshua chapter 23, please. Joshua chapter 23 to start with, and we'll start reading from verse 14 just down to verse 16. Joshua 23 verse 14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And Joshua was coming to the end of his life, and he says here, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing, there's the clue, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. That's our first reading of a number of readings this evening. And as I said, we're going to look at many things, but we're going to look at one thing. We're going to look at a few verses tonight with that. There's two little words in it. One thing. And here we have Joshua speaking about not one thing. And at the very beginning of Joshua, if you go back to the very beginning of the book, in chapter 1, you needn't turn these pages up if you don't want to. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, we read there, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. This was Joshua taking over from Moses. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So Joshua had a promise from God. Joshua had a promise there that I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee, I will not fail thee. My baptism verse was verse 9 of chapter 1, and it says there, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And many of us here tonight have been on the Christian pathway for a number of years, and we can testify, can't we, to the goodness of God, to the goodness of our Lord, knowing that he has been with us all the way through. None of us can say that he's forsaken us, because he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You may well say to me, well, Andrew, sometimes I feel very lonely. I've been on my own. Well, very often that's because we've wandered away from him. But he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And that's a promise that Joshua was given here. And we see Joshua just really fulfilling that, or just reminding the children of Israel of these things here at the end of his life. And he could testify of these things and say, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. Now, if you go back through and read through Joshua, and I scanned through it quickly yesterday, there are events through the book of Joshua where things didn't go so well. Chapter 7 is a good example. Achan, when he took things that he shouldn't have taken, and all sorts of problems ensued because of his disobedience. And you know, whilst the Lord is good, and whilst the Lord is gracious, and whilst the Lord gives us many good things, a verse comes to mind there in James chapter 1, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is good. Every good gift comes from his bountiful hands. And the quicker you learn that, the better it is. You know, it's lovely, isn't it, to know that Joshua could speak of these things and say, look, it's amazing how God has kept his word, as God always does keep his word. And all his good things have been very good. But we did go on to read a little bit, didn't we, in verse 15. And it did say there also that as all the good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God has promised you, so shall the Lord bring you evil things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Why was that? Because they had disobeyed God. They had turned to other gods. They had turned to idols. And we see them bowing down and to the things of the world. And you know, when that happens, then things tend to go a little bit awry with the Christian life and the Christian walk. I guess if there's a parallel chapter with that in the New Testament, it would be over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And we read there well-known verses to us all, I'm sure. I can remember having these verses drummed into me as a young Christian, and I've never forgotten them. And it's something which we tend not to hear so much about these days. I certainly haven't heard very many people talking about it. Maybe you have, and that's good if you have. But we read, don't we, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I guess if you wanted an up-to-date, you know, there are Christians that say, "Oh, the Old Testament doesn't really apply to us. It's old-fashioned, it's out of date. And where does it apply to us today?" Well, I'm sorry, but it really does apply to us. And there's always parallel scriptures that we can turn to anyway in the New Testament to teach us the same truths. And here we have that same truth, don't we? God is good. And God will always see that we have good things, and every good thing from God is, they are good things. And not one good thing that God gives us will ever fail. When things fail, it's not because of God, it's because of us, it's because of the sin, it's because of the world around us, and it's certainly not God's fault. And you know, how often do we hear when we're talking to non-Christians, "Well, why does God allow this? Why does God allow that?" Well, we know what the answer is: because men have turned their back upon God. Let's be encouraged tonight by this one thing. And Joshua brings it to us, and we are reminded that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. God has made many promises to us as believers. One of those promises is, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." One of those promises is, "I am coming again to receive you unto myself." And that promise will not fail. It will not fail. There are many today who question these things. But you know, God has promised these good things, and they will come to fruition. They will come to pass. And we can rejoice, can't we? We could spend all evening thinking about the good things that God has done. But we're going to move on to the next one thing, which is Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. And we see here David, the Psalm of David. And we're just going to read a couple of verses, four verses from verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." One thing have I desired of the Lord. David, in this psalm — we could spend a whole evening on this psalm if you wanted to — was pouring out his heart with the troubles that he had encountered or was encountering. I don't really know quite when this psalm was written or what event it was, and I can't seem to find out exactly. There are some ideas. I'll leave that to you to find that out for yourselves. Doesn't really matter for this evening. David was going through trials and tribulations and suffering. And amongst that suffering, or amidst that suffering, he could turn around and say in verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." He could have desired many things. He could have desired that he'd be set free from whatever it was that was troubling him. He could have desired for many things of the world's goods that perhaps he could have gone after. such as you and I can go after today. But I think it's lovely here that David, in the middle of this psalm, could say, "One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I wonder if I was to ask you, I wonder if you were to ask me, what one thing do I desire most of all in this life? What one thing do you most desire? That may change as life goes on. Circumstances change, situations change. Our desires perhaps change, but if you allowed one desire, I wonder what that desire would be for you. What would that desire be for me? I wonder if it would be David's desire. But of all the things we could choose from, that we seek after the things of the Lord. I'm really pleased that you had a desire to come here this evening, even though it's me speaking, because you could have been at home watching the football. And I'm sure that disappoints all of you that you're not there watching that, but there we are. You're here, and that's great. Sadly, there will be people tonight who should be at their meetings that won't be because they have a desire to watch something which has no real value for eternity. Just coming under the sound of God's word, not forgetting what I say tonight, just listening to what the Lord has to say through his word will profit you. And it profits us all, doesn't it? And it should encourage our hearts to learn from the things of God. So it would be lovely, wouldn't it, if each one of us could say that our one desire, our one thing that we desire in life is to seek after the Lord. We may dwell in his house all the days of my life and behold the beauties of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It can be done. If our desire is there, it can be done. But we have to make sure, don't we, that again, going back to the previous one thing, looking at, again at Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, we have to separate ourselves, don't we, from the world. Separate ourselves from those idols. Separate ourselves from those things that are gods of this world. And separate ourselves unto God and unto the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be that we have a desire as we go from here today. If we're already doing it, that's amazing, that's wonderful, and it's the way it should be. That we might have that one desire to seek after the things of the Lord and the things of our God and the things of our Saviour. Mark chapter 10, verse 17, our next one. These aren't in any particular order. Mark chapter 10. And we read there in verse 17, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. This is to do with the rich man. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would say in verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honour thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." One thing thou lackest. The Lord reminded this young man of the commandments. Five of the commandments, I think it is. And you can just imagine, can't you, this man's face, all smug and smiling and quite happy, and saying to the Lord, "Yeah, but Lord, I've done all these things. I've done all these things." And the Lord had to say to him, "Well, one thing thou lackest." These commandments really all relate, don't they, to other people. Do not kill other people. Do not steal from other people. Do not bear false witness from other people. Defraud not other people. Honour thy father and thy mother. And so I guess you could say really that these commandments really are a picture really of our neighbours, aren't they? People we rub shoulders with, people we live with, people we know, our neighbours, those that live around us. And the Lord was really challenging this man, I think, you know, to how much do you really love them? And to prove how much you love them, to prove you've kept these commandments, I want you to go and sell all you have and give them to your neighbours that need them. But we know the result of that was that he went away very sad because he had great possessions. He had great possessions. He lacked one thing. He lacked one thing. But that one thing stopped him from entering the kingdom of God. Now we know we can't do anything to gain eternal life. I don't want to use that this evening to talk about that. I just want to use that picture there of the neighbourly love we should have one for the other. And we're reminded, aren't we, also in John chapter 13 of a new commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now I have a job saying that. I have a job saying that because I know how bad I am at it. I know how bad I am at it. I don't know about you, but I find it very difficult sometimes to love my neighbours. Not my literal neighbours, they're okay most of the time. But I should love them all the time. And, you know, who is our neighbour? Well, everyone's our neighbours. And we should love them as the Lord loved them. And sometimes, you know, I'll speak to myself, I'm lacking in that. I'm lacking in that. If we turn to that verse in John 13, isn't it? Yeah, John 13, 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He says it twice. Verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know, it's so important, isn't it, to make sure that we show love. I'm learning it slowly. I'm getting there slowly. I bite my tongue a lot these days. And I hold back. We had a text from somebody before I came out. My wife had a text. So I saw it come up on the screen. And I wrote a little note to her. "Pray for grace before you open this text. Because I know the sort of result it's going to get if we don't pray for grace. Because it almost got me." So I'm not getting any more clues than that. You won't know who it is. Doesn't matter. But I just left a little note. She wasn't at home when I left. So there we are. So, you know, we have to, don't we? We have to be very careful to respond in the right way to each other, to respond in the right way to our neighbours, to respond to those around us with the love of the Saviour, because then it will be obvious to them that we belong to him. When they see that we belong to him, when they see that he makes a difference to us, then we won't lack anything. We'll have the love that we should have. And they'll see in us something of Christ and maybe be drawn to him, maybe for the first time. So this young man, he lacked one thing. I'm sure he lacked many things, but the Lord was pointing out this one thing. "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast." I'm not telling you to go and sell all that you have and give it to your neighbours. What I am saying is there anything lacking in your life? Is there anything lacking in my life that hinders your relationship with the Lord? Hinders your relationship with your fellow believers? Hinders your relationship with those around who you're trying to reach out with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? And we have to challenge our heart, don't we, on these things. Just to check these little things, these one things, simple things sometimes. And it might just be one thing that's holding back the Lord from working in a testimony, in a certain situation. And maybe we know what that one thing is in our lives that needs to be sorted out, needs to be rooted out. But we're not prepared to do it. Maybe that's the one thing the Lord wants you to actually root out. Maybe a habit. Maybe something you're harbouring against somebody. An ill thought. Whatever it might be, ask the Lord to help you with that one thing so that you don't have the same situation this young man has and have to go away sad in your countenance. Let's move on to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And verse 38. Luke 10 verse 38. You'll know this one very well. A lot of these you'll know anyway. And we read there, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, the Lord Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. That good part. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I remember Archie Carew speaking many years ago at Glastonbury. I can't tell you what he was speaking about. I can only tell you the phrase that he said. I don't even know what context he said it, but he said, sometimes we can be too busy for God. Sometimes we can be too busy for God. Now that can be taken two ways. We can be too busy, so busy for God, like maybe Martha was, that she failed to actually see God in what she was doing and see the Lord in what she was doing. Or we can be too busy doing our own things that we have no time for God. But here, you know, I think we have a picture here sometimes that really that the Lord was just showing here that this one thing is needful for all of us. We can be very busy sometimes doing this and doing that and ticking the boxes. And so we should be busy for the Lord. But sometimes we can be so busy doing things for the Lord, doing things at home, chores, whatever it might be, legitimate things that need to be done. But we miss out on the one thing that is needful. And that is to spend time at the feet of our Saviour. Again, I find it hard to say because I know how lacking I am in doing this. It's so difficult in the days in which we live, the rat race that we live in today, the demands that are upon us, the different things that come up. You think you've got 5 minutes spare and all of a sudden something happens and you haven't got 5 minutes spare and you know what it's like. And it's so difficult, you know, to find that time. That time, that one thing that to do, that little slot in your day to spend time with the Lord and to spend time in his presence. Many of you, some of you will know, I'm sure many of you will know, a brother that's now with the Lord, Walter Clark. And Walter used to have an appointment with God every day. One occasion we were having a Christmas fellowship meal and Walter was there and he was getting quite agitated because the evening was going on, the term was going on and his time with God was coming up. And you could see he wanted to get home so he could have his time with God. And I thought that was lovely. He was a military man, a Sazra man. Maybe that had some help in his training, but you know, he had a specific time of day where he wanted to make sure that every single day he would spend time with God on that point of time in the day. And it's a good thing, isn't it, if we could do that, to have a particular time in every single day, or twice a day, or three times a day. Daniel prayed three times. It's good, isn't it, to be able to just have those times. It is needful to have those times, especially in a world that we live in today, where the world is just surrounded. We're surrounded by worldly things. We're surrounded by satanic things. We're surrounded by things that will, well, dirty us, if you like. Draw us away from the things of the Saviour. Draw us away from the things of God. And it is needful that we just do this like Mary did. To turn over to John chapter 12. And we see there Mary, don't we, pouring out the ointment upon the Saviour. Again, she spent time at the Saviour's feet. And we read there in verse chapter 12. I've gone too far, I think. I haven't written down a verse. There we are, beginning of the chapter. Mary took a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And she spent time. She purposefully went out and she bought that ointment and she had a specific purpose for that ointment. She was always going to pour it out upon the Lord. That was the one thing she was determined to do. And she did it. What effect did it have? It had an effect on the whole house. The odour of that ointment filled the house. Filled the house. And everybody would have been affected by that ointment. If you were in that house on that day, you would have walked out with a scent on you because the odour filled the house. When we spend time with the Lord, when we spend real quality time with the Lord, there's an odour about us, there's a demeanour about us, there's an aura about us that people will notice. They'll know when we've spent time with the Lord. You'll know when you've spent time with the Lord. It'll change you. It will make you have a different attitude, a different outlook, an entirely different outlook on the day. Whether the day's going well, whether the day's going not so well. If you spent time with the Lord, that whole day will be a completely different day. And you know, I'm sure this had an effect. Obviously, it had an effect on Judas. He didn't like it. And he basically rebuked her for it. And the result was the Lord saying, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burial hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with me, but me ye have not always." So that one thing that Mary did was needful. And it's needful for us today, isn't it? To do that one thing, just a little thing each day. But that little thing can make such a massive difference to those around us, to those who are watching us, to those who need to see that who we belong to. And it'll make it more obvious that we belong to Jesus, we belong to our Saviour, that He is our Lord if we spend time with Him day by day. And then John chapter 9, verse 25. John chapter 9, verse 25. And we read there concerning the verse 1, we read here that Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And you know the story, how that he had to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came out seeing. And he said in verse 25, "An answer to all his critics," to those who were asking all sorts of questions. They were trying to have a go at the Lord and trying to disprove who he was. And he answered and said, "Look, whether he be a sinner or not," they were accusing of the Lord of being a sinner, "I know not. One thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see." This man, a miracle had happened in his life, and it completely transformed his life. Just try and imagine shutting out the light, I mean completely shutting out the light, in complete darkness, and living a life in absolute darkness. And then all of a sudden the Lord comes and says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," and all of a sudden you can see how amazing that is. What an amazing transformation. It was no different to the day we got saved. The day that we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we were blind. We were destitute. We were on our own. We were in darkness. But the minute we accepted Christ as our Saviour, repented of our sins, then everything changed. A miracle happened. You and I were changed for eternity. Our lives should have been changed here as we live for the Lord. And this man didn't understand what was going on around him. There were all sorts of questions from the religious people. All sorts of things being banded around and accusations being made. And he didn't understand what was going on. He didn't really, I'm not saying he didn't care, but you know, there was one thing that was more important to him than anything else. "Look, one thing I know. I was blind, now I can see." And sometimes, you know, in the Christian life, there are many things we don't understand. There are many things we can't answer. There are many questions that people will try and trip us up with. But you know, you can always say as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, "One thing I do know, once I was blind, now I can see." Nobody can argue with that. Nobody can take that away from you. It's a fact. It's a fact. "One thing I know." And it's lovely, isn't it, to be able to say, "I know," concerning the things of God. If you go to John's epistles, you'll see there a number of times, worth looking through, the number of times he says, "I know." And John is very convinced that the things that he knows concerning the things of God, the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was at the Bath and West a couple of weeks back, and for the first time I was able to spend a few days there talking to one and another. And you know, it opened my eyes to just how little people know about the things of God and the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. One particular lady I was speaking to, she's a churchgoer, and she was all happy and joyful because she was getting a new lady vicar coming to her church, and things are going to change, and we're going to have Bible studies in the house. And I said, "I'm glad you said that." She said, "What?" I said, "You're having Bible studies." I said, "Why?" I said, "Well, there's all sorts of people today that go to church, I know." I said that they don't seem to read from their Bibles. They don't seem to have studies from their Bibles. And I hear very often quotations from the Church of England people, and I never very, very rarely hear them quote scriptures. It's what they think, or the ideas they've had, or they need to move in this direction because society is moving in this direction, and they never quote from scripture. I said, it's lovely. I said, you're going to sit down and actually learn from scripture. And we kept talking and talking. It sort of started to dawn on me a little bit that this lady knows very little. And I said to her, I said, tell me, I said, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not a Christian. I said, how would you tell me, what do I need to do to become a Christian? And she didn't have a clue. She didn't have a clue how to get saved. She couldn't tell me how to get saved. She couldn't tell me how to get right with God. She didn't know very much at all, because she hadn't been taught from the Word of God. It's lovely to be able to say that I know. One thing I know. And you know, it's so important. I keep trying to emphasize to our young people in the assembly back at Marriott to get into the Word of God and learn verses of Scripture. I didn't do it enough when I was younger, but there were lots of little verses that I learnt when I was younger. I used to have little pieces of card and I'd wrap them in Fablon stuff, and I'd go through and I'd learn them, and I enjoyed doing it, and I've never forgotten them. And it's so important just to learn the Word of God and to know with confidence when you talk to people, you can actually not say what you think, but say what you know, because God has told you and because God has said it. And we can speak with confidence because we're speaking the Word of God and speaking the Word of God into their hearts and into their souls. So one thing I know, it's lovely, isn't it, just to be able to say with absolute certainty that I know. And I trust that it's as we go on through our Christian experiences, and it's lovely to see that you've here in Bridgewater going out with the gospel and seeing people coming in. It's great to see, isn't it, Chris doing a work in the area and people responding to the gospel message. And you know, each one of us has a task to be done. Each one of us has a job to do. Each one of us has a gift given by God to be used. But you know, we need to be determined ourselves, don't we, to make sure that we're in that right place, that right position, that right condition to be used by God to be effective for Him. And there may be just one thing that needs to be adjusted in your life. Maybe there's one thing that needs to be adjusted in my life. Maybe there are many things. Start with one thing. And just put that thing right. Something maybe you've been struggling with for a long time. Something perhaps you've been struggling with just for a few days. Something you may be struggling with trying to understand of the Word of God. Well, draw alongside somebody. Ask them to help you with that problem. Don't be afraid to speak about the problems that you have. And to ask for prayer. To ask for help so that the believers can help you in these things. So one thing, I trust they've been a help. They were a help to me as I looked at them recently. And I trust they'll be a help to you as we just are reminded of the little things sometimes that can be adjusted in our lives to good effect, to great effect, we trust, for our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust He'll bless His word to us this evening. Shall we just pray? Our loving God and our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for we've been able to look into Thy Word this evening, just briefly, just simply. And just, our Father, just pull from the verses of Scripture just some examples, our Father, of these one things. We pray, Father, that You might just be able to use them to Thy glory, our Father, to the glory of our Saviour, and pray, Father, we might be challenged in some small way this evening just to adjust our lives, just to adjust, our Father, things that need to be adjusted, not to be afraid, our Father, to take these things on and to change, our Father, where change needs to be changed, things need to be changed. And our Father, we just pray, You might just speak into our hearts this evening. We do pray. Maybe, our Father, we need to spend more time with Thee, more time perhaps, Father, in prayer, more time in reading Thy Word, more time in allowing Thee to speak to us by Thy Spirit through Thy Word. Our Father, we just pray that You would just help us just to realize these areas in our lives that perhaps need just adjusting at this time, and pray, Father, for Thy help in these things. We give thanks, our Father, that we can be confident in knowing things concerning Thyself because we have the pages of Holy Scripture. We thank Thee, our Father, Thy Word is truth. There is no error within its pages. We thank Thee, our Father, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully furnished unto all good works. And our Father, we just pray that we might just be willing, our Father, to read thy word, that our lives might be adjusted, that we might, our Father, be fully furnished, our Father, unto good works, that we may, our Father, be able to show our faith by our works to those around us. Might our Father be able to show love to our neighbours as we have been seen from thy word this evening, our Father, so to do. And so, Father, we just pray for thy help. And just pray, Father, for the assembly here. We thank thee, our Father, for the work that is done for thee. And we pray, loving God, that every effort that is being made, our Father, might be in accordance with thy holy mind and will. And pray, loving God, the Holy Spirit may be able to take of those things. And our Father, to convict men and women of their need of the Saviour. For those believers, our Father, who come in, that they may be helped, our Father, to go on and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we, our Father, may each one be more conformed to the image of thy dear Son. Father, we all need help with these things. We just pray, loving God, we might just be helped this evening as we just give thee our thanks now in our Saviour's worthy and precious.
Amen.